Enormous, painful, and agonizing sound. And so I would suggest that we find out what is the problem with our equipment, any supplemental problems thereof, and get it reconciled. Because it's a beautiful call number, and I was appreciative of the fact that the system went on uninterruptedly, and it was certainly touching. On Wednesday night, we discussed 2.5 hours of essential teachings. I cannot repeat it tonight. We thought we would give you a taste of it, but I'm much of the opinion that we hardly listen to anything that's presented in the first person. So it's little likelihood we're going to listen to anything that's recorded. But if you don't listen, you're going to find yourself lost. I have the key to life. I have the key to indestructibility. I have the eye-salve of salvation. You might say I'm the locksmith that can open up these doors that have been locked and screwed up by the devious system that we're in today. By the spiritual wickedness in high places, I have the only way you can get in. There's no way around it. There's no way above this door. There's no way under it. You're going to have to come through it if you want to be saved. That's why I'm anxious for you. Not anxious that you hear my voice. I'm anxious that you hear the truth which my voice brings. I would that I could give you the voice of some melodious starlet or star or someone that is in the media, but all those souls are sold out. So I have to give you whatever I have to offer, and you must get the truth while you can, because it's not very plentiful. There's a famine. I mean, there is a famine. He said in the last days there would be a famine, not only for food, but there is a famine for the hearing of the word. Now, if the Bible was the word of God, there certainly wouldn't be a famine, because it's the best-selling text in the nation today. It's promoted by Rockefeller and Carnegie so that people will read the book. So it must not be the word, because it said there's a famine for the hearing of the word. But the Bible's preached up and down America today and up and down America tonight. On every radio wave you'll hear the gospel going forth, so-called. But it said in the last days there will be a famine for the hearing. So the word must not be going to come out of these churches. The word must not going to be come out of these religious programs. The word, therefore, must not going to be proceeding out of the institutional Bible. But it's going to have to come from a living epistle which is read and known of all men. Man cannot, must not, and will not live by bread alone. By tablets of stone or written scripture, he must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You've got a mouth, you use yours, because God's got one and he's using his. Now, we've discussed the fact of all these high incidences of crime. The nation is in turmoil. The whole fabric of the nation is being shaken. The president has announced that if the Supreme Court does not define a decision on Watergate tapes to suit him, he will not accept it. Like the Senator Kennedy from Massachusetts said today, and Senator Brooks, who's Republican, said that if indeed that is the case, then Mr. Nixon, if he gets by not answering what the Supreme Court demands, he has achieved a bloodless coup. He has achieved what it has taken at least tanks and our airplanes in Chile to do yesterday. That's on your paper today. Mr. Kennedy said if he gets by with this, and his own Republican colleague, our only black senator, Senator Brooks, says if he gets by with this, then he is tantamount to a military takeover without any guns being fired, without any blood being shed. Now, it is a really shameful condition in America that a person could bring on a dictatorship without any blood being shed. At least the Chileans tonight are fighting for their freedom. They've had to be squashed. They've had to be murdered. The president had to be murdered. His brains were shot out by a machine gun. And his wife wasn't even given the privilege of seeing her beloved before she had to get into sanctuary in the Mexican embassy and is now en route to Mexico for political asylum. At least the Chileans fought. At least there was some bloodshed. But I know one nation in this country, in this world today, where there would be very little fighting done, if any. I know a nation, and I'm in it right now, it's called America. I'm in a nation called the United States of America that would not fight to protect its liberty. That's how far gone the people are. They would not fight to protect their liberty. The light has nearly gone out, and the people care very little. The prophets lie, the leaders lie, and the people would almost have it so. At least the Indians in Wounded Knee fought. They fought till many of their children even died. But we who pride ourselves in being great Americans, we've lost that zeal, that inspiration, that struggle for freedom. And as it was said by the founders of our country, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. If you don't fight for it, you lose it. You got to fight all the time. You got to be eternally vigilant. And the moment you stop fighting, that moment you lose liberty. Well, America has lost its fighting spirit. We're caught up in the blue tube. We're caught up in modern conveniences. We're not eating properly. We're caught up with the cost of living, the index, the market, and we are consequently ripe for a takeover. Now, the country's not going to allow crime to continue at this rate. The dictatorial powers are back in the background this very moment, stirring up this kind of situation. They're stirring up and fomenting crime, just like they used some of the very elements of our own community to burn down our church. This was a conspiracy, and they got Uncle Tom's to carry it out. Aunt Jane's and Uncle Tom's carried it out. Not honkies, but Uncle Tom's and Aunt Jane's. There was no honky came over there and burned that place down. No, they had the skin like all people that should be free have, the color of their skin, tanned and ebony. They were people that should know better. But we've got agents and counter-agents and sinister forces of the hidden rulers, the CIA, right in our very midst. So what are you going to say? What's going to happen? What is going to happen? That's good. At least you quieted down. I told you what was going to happen in Chile. I informed you exactly what would take place in Chile. I said it will not work. What he's trying to do, socialism in a democracy where there's a strong military, it will not work. I said he will be brought down in a great tragedy. They'll overthrow his government. I said they would do it. And I prophesied the death of it, and now Allende, the president, is dead, and Chile is in bloodshed. With the exception of a few people that are still fighting in the suburbs, the poor there tend to live in the suburbs, and there's still some resistance in the suburbs. All resistance is almost gone. The paper said that we're not responsible. San Francisco Chronicle says we're not responsible for it. Our government is not responsible for the fall of Chile. Yet, in the next line, it says that every form of aid has been cut off to Chile by the United States except military aid. The only aid we were giving, our tax dollars, when we can hardly keep ourselves together and the American home is almost overwhelmed now, you can't even afford good medicine, you can't afford a good hospital, you can't afford a good doctor, and yet our tax money is going down to these crooked generals that just overthrew an elected government. an elected president was just overthrown by generals that got their money from Washington. Don't take my word for it. Read your paper. Peace. The paper said, we are not involved. Well, I don't know how less involved you can be, or how more involved you can be, rather. If our money is, all of our money that's going out of the United States has been going to buy them arms and tanks and airplanes, if the UPI and the AP, the Associated Press, looked up and said, it's American planes strafing and shooting the government palace, and the American planes that finally brought about the death of the 1,000 people there. I heard the description over all the networks. They described this Sabre jet and this type of plane and that type of plane. They were all American. So if we furnished the plane, they said we have no direct involvement. I don't care whether we got any direct involvement. That isn't just because Mr. Nixon wasn't there dropping the bombs. All the paper said was that we didn't have any direct involvement. But we got a lot of indirect involvement. The indirect involvement was that we were notified 10 days ago that the exact day the revolution was going to take place. The exact day the military coup, I don't want to call it a revolution, I want to call it a takeover. A fascist, vicious takeover. And your papers now read today that 10 days ago our government was informed by the generals when they were going to do it. The exact hour. Now, then we say we're not involved. Now, if I know somebody's robbing your house and I don't do something, I'm involved. I believe that if the lawyers over here could correct me, if I'm wrong, the lawyer there that I healed of cancer when he was dying, standing on the wall, I believe that if you have information to a crime and you don't report that, if you're aware of the exact time that a crime is going to take place and you don't report that, you're involved in that conspiracy. In one way or another, I wouldn't want to give the exact technical description, but in the courts of law, you would be involved. You'd be considered a criminal if you kept information privy to your own self and did not reveal it when you knew that a crime was going to take place. You'd be an accessory before the fact of the crime. Now, we're an accessory to the tragedy of Chile. And they're only moonlighting out there, babies. My beloved children, they're only moonlighting out there what they're getting ready to do here. They've tried us on for size in the Philippines, and they've taken away their liberty. They tried us on for size in the Dominican Republic, and they've taken away their liberty. They've tried us on throughout all the nation. They've been putting this thing on. In Indonesia, 3 or 4 years ago, they put it on there. They want to see if America would resist there. We have let them take away people's freedoms from Greece with our money, all throughout Latin America, all throughout Africa. Our money has been overthrowing constitutionally elected governments. Our money, and everybody knows it's our money, even the newspaper tells us our money, and people still go on their merry way preaching about sky gods and preaching about heaven, talking about the furniture of heaven and the temperature of hell, and doing nothing about the miserable conditions of spiritual wickedness in high places. Now watch out. You're next. You're next. Everything else is just about broken. There's little else that can be done to overthrow government now. The chickens are coming home to roost. They're coming whether you want them or not, they're coming. And I think many in here care. But there's some in here don't care for nothing. I went out and watched this meeting tonight. They don't care for nothing. They don't care about being respectful. Sisters had to look around. Sister Knowles had to look around to get some kind of peace. There's no peace to be given. People won't even be kindly enough to sit and be courteous and listen to the great miracles that have taken place here. We had a miracle discussed here of this young boy that was dead, this child that was dead, and the eye put back in. And the miracle that happened this week of leukemia, you can get the address from one of our secretaries. A child had been treated by doctors, and the doctors are so overwhelmed. I've healed the child, and all the cancer of the blood has disappeared. And we gave the address last night. Peace. But people won't even be quiet to listen in this room. And all that's concerned about liberty in America today are in San Francisco tonight, as certain as I am here. The only ones really concerned about liberty tonight in San Francisco are in this room. Now, I wish that were not so, and you may think that's a bold and very presumptuous statement, but it's unfortunately the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Whatever concern there is about liberty in the East Bay and the Bay tonight is in this room. And half of the people in this room are not concerned, at least. So that doesn't leave many people concerned about freedom. So, oh, you mean there's not more people concerned? Oh, no. That's exactly what I mean. So I heard there's certain groups of over here, and certain nationals, and certain Panthers. Yeah, I hear about them. They're mostly over in Reno gambling. I hear about all these Coca-Cola revolutionaries and these Reno and Las Vegas revolutionaries. I hear about them. They're wasting the people's money living in penthouses up on the 6th and 8th floor. Sure. People don't like me. I notice they're not burning down any headquarters over there of these nationalist groups. There's no Panther headquarters being burned down. They're burning down people's temple because they know where the truth is coming. I've stopped bombs on every front this week. Bomb was thrown into our temple property in River Valley. They even reached up there where we've got the cooperation of law enforcement. And I had to stop it midair. It made a flash like the sun, but didn't move a lock on anyone's hair. People could have been killed all over the place, but I had to stop it metaphysically. They're trying everywhere. From the same time they did it in Los Angeles, the bomb was there. The man went running around saying the bomb was there. By the time the demolition squad came, I had removed the bomb by my spirit. Peace. And I will continue to be just exactly what I always can be, if you will have me to be. I will continue to be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent revolutionary force, if you will allow it and want it and desire it. Oh, yes, I did. Don't look puzzling. I'm not talking about dramatization now. You check down in Los Angeles. The man found the wires and everything. The bomb was intricately set up, and he went to get the demolition squad, but there wasn't time. So I reached out, and when he got back, the bomb was gone. Check with the staff down there tomorrow and get the mystery of this marvelous work, the beauty of it. So simultaneously, our temples have been attacked on every front, primarily because they know we're the last threat to liberty. A man by the name of Nystrom called me yesterday, as I wanted to reveal there, and I could not have the accessibility to the equipment with any clarity of sound, at least. Sound like an old bullfrog. Well, I, at least when I'm speaking personally, it is not quite as bad as a bullfrog as it is when it comes over that thing. Yesterday, a man by the name of Nystrom called me, the head of a very great organization. He said, I got someone that must talk to you. His conscience demands it before he gets on to Australia, but he doesn't want to talk to you here. He wants to go to a pay telephone and call you at another phone. I gave an idea in certain peculiar way in which I was asked to give the idea where he could call. And so he called there, and we made another arrangement, and a third call was placed before I finally got the information that was the most shocking kind of information you'd ever want to hear. The man had worked for very important agencies in this United States, high and low, and he was on a flight. He was getting ready to flee to Australia. He said, I want to tell you, Reverend, about some plans that have been concocted against you and against one other man who's not in the church field. He said they consider you the powers of the master design that planned to take over this country, consider you to be the only threat. And he told me intimate things that had happened that I knew he had to know He had to be on the inside. Because he had no supernatural gift, he had to be speaking exactly from knowledge. And when they told their plan, it was a horrendous plan. He said he had to clear his conscience at least. He was going to get out of the country. He didn't know where he was going to go. He was intending to go into the interior. He had a friend in the agriculture ministry in Australia, and he was intending to get away, hopefully at least, to hold on to his life. He told me of a plan that you wouldn't believe, some of you. You will never believe it till it starts. I've been preaching it all along the time. I didn't need to be told. I've told you of racial extermination. I've told you of racial genocide. I've told you not to allow people to talk to us about child abortions, because particularly blacks, because this is a racial genocide. It's beginning even in small ways now. He told me of the actual planned extermination of all brown, black, and yellow people in this country. Because that was their opinion, that because Chinese had been coolies and had been men servants and the blacks had been slaves before, that we will never convince the black people to go along with a wage slave system. That the blacks would never go along, and so he told me of the most horrible plan to put blacks into total extermination and all poor whites that wanted any liberty at all. Anyone that refuses to become a wage slave will be destroyed. And I wouldn't have believed it either if I hadn't known it already in my heart and had it proven by revelation after revelation, and then having it proven to me by the things that he told me that nobody knew but me. No one knew but me of some of the things that had gone on, because I just hadn't got around to talking about it. So he knew, he was on the inside looking at this monstrous mess. Now we are in a difficult time, and we can make it if you want to make it. So I'm going to get out of here. It's already too late. They'll look you up 6 months after you leave here. You are already finished. You love liberty enough to come in here, and some of you didn't even know why you came in here. It's already too late. Whether you're in here by mistake or you're in here because you brought yourself under your own power, it's already too late for you. They will never trust you again. No matter how much you tell, no matter how much you sing, no matter how many lies you would try to create against this holy work, there is nothing you can do. You won't be able to wash your hands. You'll be like Pilate trying to wash the blood off your hands, and there's no way you're going to get the blood off your hands, because they're going to hold you responsible. They'll never trust you because you've been here. So the best thing for you to do is to get with us and cooperate and unite in this mind and spirit and go on forward to liberty. Peace. He made a remark. He said, I understand that people call you God. Some of them do. And I said, well, we believe in the Godship consciousness. I wasn't going to be freely talking about that. I said that Jesus said, we all are gods. Ye are gods, he said, when they took him to and claimed him first for his healings. Then after a while, he began to talk about him being the Son of God, and they took him and persecuted him. He said, when they took him to criticize him, took him up to task, Jesus said, ye are gods and sons. He said, ye all are gods. So I handled it that way. He said, well, a lot of people might think you're crazy for that kind of a point of view. But he said, people in high places in this nation fear you, and I think this is exactly as it was quoted, fear you as if you were a god. So if the people in high places recognize and fear me as if I were a god, how much more should you who have seen miracles that no man can do reverence it as God? Peace. You should recognize the moving of the Spirit of God. For God is principle, and where God is, there will be mighty signs and wonders, miracles. And these miracles were here last Sunday. You saw people on crutches that had had all kinds of operations, healed instantly and dancing just like a little child spinning on a top. You saw, as they mentioned, people running who had incurable diseases of the lungs, and it was not possible for them to even exercise, and they ran and they kept on running. You saw cancers healed and spit up. You saw all miracles. You saw one healed of blindness on the back row, I remember. One miracle of one woman healed on the back row of blindness. Now, if you who have seen these things cannot believe, when those who are running this nation down to hell do believe, that ought to make us feel ashamed. Now, if Mr. Nixon didn't announce it to you, you got good sense, you would know that a dictatorship's coming. Because people are not going to allow what's happening, like today, another young child on the front page, a little 11-year-old or 10-year-old, taken away, said undoubtedly he's killed. Little blonde-haired boy, last couple of weeks ago with a little Mexican girl. I had to find one in Los Angeles, one of our members. A 9-year-old child was taken, but I brought that back because I'm different than the ordinary. And I brought that child back, and I brought the children back on many occasions. I think it was Lou V. Davis's, wasn't it? When she called on me, went back into her house and found there the children were. Or suddenly they kind of appeared at the same time I was meditating. And we've not lost any children to these vicious animals that are out there. But we are extraordinary class of evolutionary development. Now, if you didn't agree with that, you're kind of foolish. Now, if I had said I am the I am, you might have taken an issue with that. Although I know I am what I say I am, I have no question about it. Peace. Surely you must admit that in an atmosphere where people have no problem being resurrected, everyone that dies in my presence, where I'm immediately present, or where people have all these miracles done and have little ones returned suddenly, as it were, in the air. The very night it was brought to me here in this pulpit, at that moment I said, it'll be all right. And look around in the living room, and there they are. And the 9-year-old down in Los Angeles that I just returned. But this shows you how bad the conditions are, that people are having their children stolen out of their homes. People cannot walk down a street at night. Certainly you can't walk in the poor neighborhoods. And it's getting really difficult to walk anywhere. Now, what's going to happen? This is all stirred up. This climate's all stirred up, of course, to make the people want to do something about it. You're hearing a lot of people cry for law and order. Now they've invoked a new legislation. We see the gas chamber back before our eyes. And I notice every crime that's going to be used for is a crime where 90% of those people who are involved in the crime are black. You read the statistics, you'll find out I'm telling you just exactly the truth on the matter. Now, if murder is right, if it's right to kill anyone, they've got a law now that says it's right to kill. Anyone who kills a police officer should go to the gas chamber. Well, I'm going to say, if it's going to be right to kill anyone, then it should be the same right extended to the little old lady or the little old man that's killed on the street. But in our country today, the people in uniform are worth more than the little old ladies and the little old men. There's nothing in there that says that the little old ladies and little old men that are beat to death are ravagedly beaten and assaulted and die in their homes or on the street. Nothing's going to happen to their murderers. But if you shoot somebody in a uniform, it's automatic death. We're a sick country. Very sick. When people can say that one person's life is more valuable than the other. Now, perhaps the Supreme Court won't uphold this if the Supreme Court exists. And if Mr. Nixon statement is true, that he won't accept a decision from the Supreme Court that will reverse his own decision, Mr. Kennedy will be correct that we'll have a bloodless coup. A bloodless coup means a dictatorship takes over without a gun being shot. And I tell you tonight that that's exactly how it's going to happen. It may not, and very quite likely will not happen over this issue, but it will come without a gun being fired. You're going to wake up one night and you'll find emergency executive orders 11490 and 11647 to give the president the total power to declare what is a clear and present danger. You will see those laws in effect. And when those laws go in effect, that means that every police department, every sheriff's department, every National Guard, everybody in this United States will keep one tempo. We'll march at the same beat that the president says march. He's already got the power. Executive orders 11490 and 11647, just revised, gives him absolute power. The courts will be suspended. The legislatures will be suspended. They might as well be anyway. They're now talking today, I heard them talking about doing away with the jury system and letting judges decide your fate. Well, that's wonderful. Now, that's really wonderful. A bunch of paid bureaucrats deciding whether you're guilty or innocent. This country was founded on the principle that you had a right to be tried by a jury of your peers. But as Sister Tupper, one of our secretaries, the Valley Secretary, she just served on the jury this week. She said, I never saw anything like it. It was so cruel. She said they didn't want to do anything but get out of there and convict the person. They wanted to find an excuse to convict the little girl, even though the evidence was against them. They were determined to convict her. Even some of them said, well, her parents are not here anyway, so she ought to be convicted. Sister Tupper sitting down right down there on the front row. And I've been on the foreman of the grand jury, and I've served on many a jury. And if you've served on a jury, you know that's the way people are today. They want to get to their beauty shop, they want to get home to their dinner, and they want to convict people just as quick as they can convict them. I've served, I know. And if you've served on a jury, you know. That's how little value liberty has anymore. But at least you've got some chance when you had 12. Now most states have reduced it to 6. When you got 12 people, there was a chance when all of them had to agree whether you were guilty. When you had a necessity that all agree that you were guilty, at least you had a chance that there'd be one good Samaritan that would require all the facts. Now they want to make judges decide that. And if Mr. Nixon gets his way, or the leaders, the spiritual wicked leaders in high places, if they get their way, nobody will have a say-so except the president. He'll decide whether you're guilty or innocent. He'll decide how long you go to jail. He'll decide where you work. He'll decide how much food you'll have. He'll decide everything. He'll have total power. Say, it won't come. I'll take any bet here tonight. And I'm not a gambling man. Put your money where your mouth is. I'll take any bet. It will happen. It will happen. I wish you were right and I was wrong, but it will happen. Because the people are going to demand it. You hear it on the radio talk shows. They say, all this lawlessness, all this crime, all this violence, I don't feel safe. And they're stirring up all this violence, shooting the drugs to our children, pushing the liquor on the neighborhoods, pushing everything that would pollute the minds and destroy our own will. They're giving everything we can that will discourage us from having any peace and encourage all the anarchy. They're encouraging it in high places. Because if a 9-year-old boy can find heroin pushers, then the FBI could if they wanted to find them. Peace. I don't know whether you're familiar or not, but we've had nearly every major city in America has lost a child under 10 years of age from heroin. One a day die in New York. A child a day. Now, let me say, again, if a 9-year-old, and in one case I think it was a 7-year-old, if a 7-year-old can find the drug pusher, if he can find the pusher man, let me tell you, the FBI could, and the CIA could, and the police could if they really wanted to. But they don't want to. They don't want to. They want us to be divided amongst ourselves. They want us to get on drugs so that we don't know our own mind. Why, these people on drugs will even steal from their own mother. I just talked to one of the relatives in just a moment ago. I'd saved her. She told me how the picture at the background there when I was with some of the workers, she told me how a picture had saved her from her own. I won't speak of who she is, but her own child tried to kill her to get $6.55 she had in a purse. Because he's on dope. And the system wants him on dope, so we'll kill off each other. Or we'll have it so bad that we'll all want laws to get tougher. We'll all be so desperate that we'll say, come on, big brother. Come on, big dictator. At least I want to be able to walk in the streets at night. Now, what kind of a dictatorship is it going to be? Will it be a dictatorship of the people? Not a ghost of a chance. Will it be a socialist kind of dictatorship? And I don't like dictatorships at all. My desire is to see a perfect utopia based on nonviolence, based on apostolic socialism as it was on the day of Pentecost when they had all things in common. But is there any chance of it being socialistic? Not one chance in the world. The only possible way it can go is fascistic. Look at all these people sleeping in here. Going on to hell. They're on their way to hell. Don't know it. They're fanning the flames of hell right now and don't even have enough courage or patience to stay awake. I've got the key. I've got the key. I've got the way to get through. I've got a way through the wilderness. But you better listen. When you've got oil industries that killed off President Kennedy, and it's been proved by who killed Kennedy, Colonel Buchanan. He had to get out of the nation after he proved it, and many others have documented it. Anybody knows that Ruby and all that bunch, Ruby died conveniently of cancer. Oswald was no more the killer of Kennedy than I am. He was just a tool. He was a patsy. And all these pictures that came out and films that documented that Kennedy was fired on from at least two, if not three, different directions. And then they say Oswald was the only one that killed him. And we find that Ruby Carroll knew, Ruby knew more about, Jack Ruby knew more about what was happening, the fact that the time of the moving of Oswald had been changed. He knew something that the chief of the Dallas police didn't, that only the Secret Service knew. The personal Secret Service of the President of the United States. Only they knew when Oswald was to be moved. But Ruby said, I found out, he said it on his tape, the record that was sold just before he died. He said, I found out they were going to change his moving time, so I went over to the sheriff's department, the jail, at a different hour. So it was a conspiracy. Computer Automation magazine said, and a Republican magazine at that, it fed all the facts, it fed all the facts of this murder through their statistical computers, and it came out that at least 50 people were involved with the murder of President Kennedy, and they were from the top cabinet, from the top of the cabinet of the United States, clear down to the Dallas police. He said that's what the statistical computation came out, that this murder had to be carried out with the design of at least 50 people in every level of government. Now, that isn't my opinion. That's Computer and Automation magazine, a conservative Republican magazine that just did a statistical study that had no axe to grind whatsoever. All these facts have been given us, just like Martin Luther King. They murdered him. Anybody that tries to unite the people, they murder them. They murdered him. And you say, then we come up with that old story that it was only one man. Yet somebody caused the entire Memphis police to go the wrong way. Somebody got on their radio wave, their own frequency band, and told them to go the wrong way. Now, does one man be able to shoot and one man get on the radio and do all that together while he's running down the street? The one man that shot him was too busy getting away to be doing any radio work, but it was a high-level thing that was able to break into the frequency band of the Memphis police and get them to go the wrong way. And we were told a big fat lie, and most of these old jackleg Uncle Tom preachers tell it to us, and say he was killed by one man, and we just go right on believing it. Of course, I know what you're going to say to me. That's why it takes all night to get through to people. You're going to say to me immediately, Well, we don't have to worry because God's going to come and He's going to take care of it all. God's going to come with a fan in His hand. He's going to shake up everything and it's going to be set right. How do you know, you say? Well, my Bible tells me so. The Bible also tells you a lot of other stuff. You don't know whether it's so. You better listen. I haven't got much more time. The doors are closing. I noticed one thing. You don't take that Bible very seriously in there when it says, sell all you have. You don't take that Bible very seriously at all. It says in there, wouldst thou be perfect, Jesus said. When the man came to him how to be saved, he said, wouldst thou be perfect? He said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. You don't take that very seriously. It says, when you go out in these days, he said, in the days of the kingdom, when you go out to minister, don't take any purse and don't take any script. That's script. That's writing. That's scripture right there. He said, don't take any Bible. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. He says, take no thought for what you will say or what you will do, for in that hour when the Spirit of truth has come, He will lead you and guide you. Peace. I notice nobody takes that kind of serious. But when we get into trouble and our nation looks like it's going to hell, we all start riding on the book. We just hide behind the book and say, well, God's going to take care of it. Now let me tell you, your grandma didn't tell you this for nothing. God helps those who help themselves. You see, there's great truth in this Bible, but it has to be brought out by a prophet. That's why you must have this booklet. It will not be offered again. Very rarely will it be offered away from the Mother Church in Redwood Valley. You better get this and study it and get an eye-opener of the ages, because if you don't get this eye-opener, then you'll be lost. This Bible contains truth, and that truth cannot be brought out except without a preacher. How can you hear without a preacher or a prophet? How can he preach lest he be sent? How do you know he's sent? He'll have 9 gifts just like I've got. He'll have the fruits of the Spirit. He'll have boldness, compassion, gentleness, meekness, courage. He'll have all the fruits of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit. And if he doesn't have it, you won't know your front end from your rear end. Peace. Without one that is sent with metaphysical, political, and sociological force of truth today, you won't make it at all. Didn't say you would live by this. Said you'd die by this. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, what does it say? The letter killeth. The letter to Romans, the letter to Timothy, the letter to Thessalonica, the letters of Corinthians, the letters kill. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letters kill, but the Spirit. See, I'm in the Spirit. Love, truth. God is love. God is truth. And I'm right here in that Spirit. The Spirit will make alive, but the letter, all the Bibles will kill. The Bibles murder. The Bibles destroy. But the Spirit maketh alive. You see, you do not know by the letter. The letter has been taken by King James, who persecuted the early whites, the early white colonists. He was a great persecutor. He was a drunk. He was a homosexual deviant. Not that that was his any major offense against him, though it is not my custom. I would say certainly his drunkenness and his slaveholding methods would be an indictment against him. He was a slave owner, and he was a slave trader, and he sent the first ship. Jesus, the first ship to Africa, the first ship was called the Good Ship Jesus, and it brought blacks back in chains. This king who wrote this Bible did that. The last version. That's why you've got to have a prophet in these days, because the last interpretation of the Bible was written by a murderer, a whoremonger, a homosexual, a pathological deviant, and a slave trader who tricked the blacks and the Indians and the whites by sending a good ship, Jesus, to bring people back in chains. That is what was done by the King of England.
You understand, there's a difference between the Word of God and King James. King James is not God. You fathom what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? King James is not God. Man must live by every word. I said, well, what is the Word of God then? How do I know? I just told you. I am the fulfillment of that in this dispensation. You can be the fulfillment in your dispensation if you will take a cognizance and take likeness of to what I'm saying and listen closely to what I'm saying and reflect upon it. You'll take a picture of me. You can reproduce a greater picture in your own likeness. We'll say, well, Jesus' day is the great day. No, this is a greater day than Jesus' day. Because he said, these things shall you do. Jesus said this. These things shall ye do, and what? Greater, because I go to the Father. So this is a greater day than the day of Jesus. In many ways you can see this if you have an eye to spiritual understanding. And if you have that eye, and you have that boldness of the preaching ministry, you're perfected with what? Apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You must have apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so forth and so on, without which there is no what? Perfection of the saints. But I would like to get this across to you because you're going to lose your soul thinking that you're going to be saved by just reading. In here is truth, in here is also error. In here are statements by the devil himself. You've got quotes of Satan. Somebody will say, every word in here is true. Why, it's not so. There are statements in here by Lucifer, supposedly. They're not so. A whole lot of statements in here of translation that are not so. If you read my booklet, that is nothing more than your own scriptures just put together, you'll see with your own eyes that there is truth and error here. And it takes honesty. It takes a spirit of truth. It takes someone to become the spirit of truth to bring out the truth to you. Now, what is example? And this is what bothers me, as I say. You will go to this Bible when you don't want to work. But when you want to get out of something, you'll run to the Bible when you can't face a reality. But when you have this Bible meddling with how you live, you don't want anything to do with it. People that are uptight right now, there'll be a lot of people uptight, and they're usually uptight. In most of the meetings, it seems happen to be women about the Bible. When I get on this subject, it always seems to be women uptight about the Bible.